Welcome. First, announcements about communion. It's summed up in three words: all are welcome. If you would like to take a look at the communion practices here at Holden, you may find them as they are printed and placed in the back cover of your worship folder. You should have a worship folder. You should have a half sheet order of service and the Holden musical setting to the Holden evening, to the Holden Holden prayer that will be used in that commissioning and blessing service at the end of the service. The offerings during this night and all through the summer, 100% are going to Haitian Concerns, the Lutheran World Federation Haiti, Hearts with Haiti, St. Joseph's Families, the Lutheran Church of Haiti. And if you are writing a check for your offering tonight, please make it to Holden Village, and we will write one check at the end of the summer to these concerns. Earlier in the summer, we had a week focused on Haiti, and so this emphasis was lifted up out of that week. Again, welcome to worship, and invite you to rise, face the font over here as we begin with the Thanksgiving for baptism. Page 97. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the fountain of living water, the rock who gave us birth, our light, and our salvation.
Amen.
Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood, you delivered Noah and his family. Through the sea, you led your people Israel from slavery into freedom. At the river, your son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By water and your word, you claim us as daughters and sons, making us heirs of your promise and servants of all. We praise you for the gift of water that sustains life, and above all, we praise you for the gift of new life in Jesus Christ. Shower us with your Spirit, renew our lives with your forgiveness, grace, and love. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
We sing the gathering hymn, All Who Hunger, Gather Gladly. We sing 461 in your cranberry worship.
Come from wilderness and wandering, weary and true.
And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Glorious God, your generosity waters the world with goodness, and you cover creation with abundance. Awaken in us a hunger for the food that satisfies both body and spirit, and with this food fill all the starving world. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Be seated, please.
The first reading is from Isaiah 55. Hey, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen, so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you did not know, and nations that you did not know shall run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for God has glorified you. Holy wisdom, holy word.
This evening's psalm is Psalm 145. It will be sung. A portion of it, there is a refrain for all of you in the assembly. The words for it are, I will praise your name, my King and my God. I will praise your name, my King and my God.
I will praise your name, my King and my God. I will praise your name, my King and my God. I will praise your name, my King. God, I will praise your name, my King and my God. I will give you glory, my God above, and I will bless your name forever. Every day I will bless and praise your name forever. I will praise your name, my King and my God. I will praise your name, my King and my full of grace and mercy, who is kind and slow to anger. God is good in every way and full of all compassion. I will praise your name, my King. Give you thanks, O Lord, and let all the faithful bless you. Let them speak of your might, O Lord, the glory of of your kingdom. I will praise your name, my King and my God. I will praise your name, my King and my God. The Lord is faithful in word and deed, and always near. His name is holy, lifting up all those who fall. God raises up the lowly. I will praise your name, my King and my God. I will praise your name, my King and my God.
The second reading is from the book of Romans, chapter 9. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it by the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my own people, my kindred, according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from them, according to the flesh, comes the Messiah, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Holy wisdom, holy word.
The gospel acclamation is found on page 171 in the front part of your worship book. Please rise as we welcome the gospel.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 14th chapter. Now, when Jesus heard about the beheading of John the Baptist, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, Jesus looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full, and those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to God. Be seated, please. Hi, my name is Bill, and I'll be your preacher tonight. Scott asked me a couple of weeks ago to preach and preside at this service. He and Lori are out of town until Thursday. Scott's brother is receiving his PhD from the University of Wisconsin in Madison, so they're on that trip for that celebration. And I agreed, but not without some misgivings. I haven't preached since March, and it's always been a struggle for me to kind of go from a standing start. Even when I was in the parish, I'd return from vacation after being gone for a couple of Sundays and spend the first 4 days fretting and stewing about, can I do this work? Can I remember how to prepare a sermon? Now, having not preached since March, there's a temptation to kind of load up on you guys. I'll try my best not to inflict too much damage, collateral or otherwise. So here we are, Sunday Eucharist. On the weekend in which we've welcomed the forerunners back to Holden to celebrate the 50th anniversary of their excursion to begin work preparing this place, this blessed place, for its long ministry. And those of us who have been around for a few days have heard about how it was in disrepair when they arrived. The village had sat empty for several years. And at one point, it was even promoted and marketed as a ghost town. You could visit a ghost town, and you could come up here and wander around amid the broken glass and stuff. And we've heard several times this week how it was deserted. So this Matthew text opens with Jesus having to take a boat to a deserted place. Did I luck out or what? When Jesus hears that John the Baptist, his forerunner, if you will, or even if you won't, has been killed, he withdraws from there in a boat to a deserted place. I mean, that's kind of understandable. One would want to get out of Dodge if your forerunner ended up with his head on a platter. The heat has been turned up. Something has occurred that has changed the game for Jesus, and it's causing him to get away, to put some distance between he and Herod, to ponder, to absorb what this might mean now. We know how that goes here at Holden. And even though this place is no longer deserted but populated year-round, for many of us, it's still that place apart where we go when we need to make sense of our lives in the midst of changing circumstances. It still serves as that place where we get away, and we come for many reasons. To be renewed, to reconnect with family, friends, to celebrate First Communion. We come to discern what life might be for us going forward. And we come to serve, hearing a call that this might be the time and the place for us. There are also those of us who come seeking refuge and feeling like we have been deserted in some way, perhaps by those with whom we've had a relationship, or perhaps, and increasingly so, deserted by an economy that has failed to create or sustain opportunities for meaningful work. Some of us come to wrestle our personal demons, and some of us come to wrestle with God. No matter what drives us to this place, we find ourselves here in this strange admixture of people, seeking to live in this place out of the way and forming this way out community. My cousin Dan back in Wisconsin has a favorite saying. He says it often. Some people think he says it too often. It's, no matter where you go, there you are. Well, it's a true saying. I mean, think about it. And the disciples must have thought, no matter where we go, the crowds follow us. And this really presents the first kind of tension in this text, the crisis in this text. I get the impression on reading this that the disciples view the crowds as a nuisance, as a threat, really. And I can hear their mutterings, just what we need. This crowd draws attention to us. I mean, what will Herod think now? What will Herod do when he perceives that John's followers now have become Jesus' followers? What does that mean? Man, we thought we were going to leave all this behind even for a few days. But look, we can't even catch a break. The disciples think, mistakenly, I believe, that they withdrew for the sake of self-protection. And so accordingly, when they see the crowds, they can think of only one response. Why can't they just go away? Why can't they just leave us alone? I guess that's two responses. Jesus, of course, is simply Jesus. He sees the crowds and deals with them compassionately, curing their sick, blessing their children, listening to their rants, and offering words about the inbreaking of God's way, the arrival of a new way of life. Jesus is simply Jesus. No matter where you go, you got to eat. That's also a true saying. We eat well in this village. Yeah. In fact, we eat so well that those of you who are here but for a week don't realize that you can actually tell the days of the week by what's for breakfast, you know? You can do that. I have trouble with that because we have a program meeting at 8:15 on Friday mornings. And Friday is one of the days when there's hot cereal. One of 4 days when there's hot cereal. I do pretty well on Tuesday and Thursday, you know, and Sunday. Get those figured out right away. Tuesday is pancakes and Thursday is eggs and Sunday is eggs again, only they're boiled, not scrambled. But it's the oatmeal days I have trouble with because they're kind of like oatmeal. They run together and they just kind of mush together. So I've missed a couple of those program meetings because of the oatmeal. So I think we ought to do something about that. And here is my suggestion to make it simpler so that there are fewer meetings missed on my part, as well as on the part of anybody else who finds themselves in the same sad, sad predicament. Monday should be bacon and eggs. Tuesday, the eggs and spinach is good with the cheese and the salsa. That's right there. Wednesday, we should have biscuits and sausage gravy. Thursday, we get scrambled eggs. Those are great. No, Tuesday, we get pancakes. That's right. Thursday, we get scrambled eggs. Jeez, it's amazing I don't miss more meetings. On Friday, it should be steak and eggs. And on Saturday, to be really inclusive, we should have Polish sausage and eggs and hash browns. And on Sunday, we can have oatmeal and toppings. But being this close to Canada, maybe Canadian bacon. You can actually tell time by what we eat here. I had this experience a week ago yesterday where I was on dish team. I went back to my room and I missed a step and fell and took a chunk out of the fleshy part of my hand here on a nail on a porch. And so I went to the medic, and Michelle was just fabulous. You know, we rinsed it off and it hurt like crazy. Well, it hurt worse like that, but this is church. And got it dried off, and she, you know, had me put pressure on. I was sitting down, and I started to lose it. I had this funny vagus nerve reaction, and I started getting clammy and sweaty, and the room started going like this. And my blood pressure bottomed out, and she got me on the table and hooked me up to oxygen and this whole thing. And as I'm losing it, I'm thinking, oh God, don't let me die today. It's Saturday. Pizza. No matter where you go, you got to eat. And now it's evening, and the disciples come to Jesus and say, this is a deserted place and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they can go into the villages and buy food for themselves. Yeah, the disciples come to Jesus and say it's supper time. They don't got a bell. They don't have any food either. And once again, we get that tension. The disciples' response, send the crowds away. And Jesus' response, no, you feed them. What a stark contrast between the mind of Jesus and the mind of the disciples. The disciples are only able to see a bare refrigerator and empty cupboards. We have nothing here. They grasp what they can with 5 loaves and 2 fish, but they still have no sense that even in this is a blessing of undeserved gift. Not only have they deserted the crowd, they've deserted the sense that all good things are a blessing from God. And they reason that such meager provisions can't make a meal for the thousands gathered. And again, they aren't able to see with the eyes of faith. And when called to trust, it seems hard for them. And with such lack of trust, they run the risk of distancing themselves not only from the crowd, but also from the one who is seeking to feed that crowd and to tend that flock. And if they aren't careful, they might end up being an obstacle to what Jesus is trying to do. That's the danger for all who would seek to be disciples of Jesus, that we follow our own reckoning, our own assessment of how much is enough, of what resources we have. And our tendency, the human tendency, is to believe that there's never enough. And so we ought to guard what we have, hang on to what we presume is ours. We keep telling ourselves and the world around us that the hour is late. The hour is late indeed for these disciples. They seem to be an instant away from deserting not only the crowd whom Jesus loves, but Jesus himself. But now comes the pivot point in this story, and it begins with a blessing. Most everything important, you see, begins with grace and a blessing. And it will be a short time now in Matthew's gospel until Jesus on the cross will himself be the offering, will himself become the feast and the provider of all the blessings. Of all blessings for all who are in the desert, even and especially all who are deserted or deserters. And in the lateness of this hour, on this evening, Jesus hosts the meal. The blessing and brokenness of the loaves, like the blessing and brokenness of his own body, is given to all. And all ate and were filled. None excluded. No one is deserted. And that seems to me to be Jesus' reason for choosing that deserted place in such a late hour. It would be a sign from that point going forward that would stand for all ages, that all who sought him in that deserted place would have their needs met. Now check this out. Here's this great little zinger, handcrafted by Jesus himself, especially for the disciples. The disciples distribute the loaves and the fish, and then they go and take up what is left over of the broken pieces, and they end up with 12 baskets full. Huh? After all of this fretting and stewing about the limited loaves and few fish, they end up with 12 baskets, one for each of them. Huh? And Jesus is, I get the image of, this is like, you know, cinema for me. Jesus is watching this all come together, and he's seeing James and John over there, and they each got a basket, and they're looking at each other, you know, and there's Peter over here and Andrew, and they've got a basket, and they're wondering what in the world's going on. And they all come together, and there's 12 of them, and there's 12 baskets, and they start to grin. And Jesus does his best Wes Priebe and goes, that's a knee slapper. It's a gotcha. Huh? You guys were so worried about not having enough. Now look at what you got. And they laugh. Look at how many leftovers we have. Let's call it the week in review. Our baskets are overflowing with love. Faith is replenished. Their own reason, our own reason, gives way to the saving reason for all this wonderful feasting. When Jesus delivers the disciples and us from our fear of earthly and divine scarcity, this feast can take on a joyful tone, rampant celebration. For we know and hear again that God's grace is sufficient, God's love is never ending, and that God in Christ has gone before us into all the deserted places of our lives, even the ones who need a boat to get to, and calls to all who have known the pain of desertion in their lives. To them we say with Jesus, you're welcome. You're included in this feast. Y'all come. That's the word the world needs to hear. And guess who's called to make home deliveries? Huh? Once you figure that out, you too will be smiling. There's a stock ending to these sermons, but I forgot it because I haven't preached in these parts. So, amen. There's a hymn. By your hand you feed your people. We rise and sing the hymn of the day. 469. Thank you.
by the Holy Spirit, and with the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, for those in need, and all of God's creation.
Sing a brief intercession between each of these.
Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death into life. Shepherd me, O God.
For the church, that having been freed from the bonds of sin and made holy in the waters of baptism, the gospel may be proclaimed freely to all people. We give thanks for Katie, Grace, and Nate who received the sacrament of Holy Communion for the first time tonight. We pray.
Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death into life.
Let us pray for the world, that the earth and its creatures may be tended with care and bear fruit for all to share. May we so care for the earth that generations to come may experience its abundance. We pray.
Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death into life.
Let us pray for the leaders of all nations, that they may be instruments of righteousness and peace in the face of injustice and conflict. Give to all who bear the sign of the cross the faith and imagination to be peacemakers wherever we find ourselves, in families, in our communities, and our world. Let us give thanks also for the forerunners of Holden Village, for their groundbreaking work in this amazing ministry of Holden Village. We pray.
Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death into life.
Let us pray for all who are held captive to human trafficking, to sweatshops, to prostitution, to drugs and alcohol, or any illness of any kind, especially those we name before you now, either silently or aloud. We pray that they may know true freedom in Christ. We pray.
Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death into life.
Let us give thanks for all the faithful who have been brought from death to eternal life by the grace of Christ. We pray especially for the family and friends of Josh, who died yesterday. Keep us in hope until the day we join them in glory. We pray.
Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death into life.
Into your hands, O God, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your abundant mercy. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Share a sign of peace with your neighbor. Peace with you. rises, the gifts are brought forth, and we sing, "Let the vineyards be fruitful," 183 in the hymn section. Receiving of communion this night, there will be three stations here, here, and here. The first person will offer you bread. The next person will offer you the chalice for drinking. It will contain wine. Then there will be a basket of small glasses. You may take one of those for an individual cup. The next will be a pouring chalice of wine and then a pouring chalice of grape juice. So bread, wine for drinking, cup, wine, and grape juice. And just follow the directions of the ushers, and they'll get you where you need to be, believe me. We continue with the dialogue. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus the Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Mighty and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and the suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. We pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against
against us.
Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil.
Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. Be seated. Now we're
thank you.
send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world, and continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Tonight, as we are gathered together, we also wish to say farewell to a friend with whom we have shared life together in this place. Sam Lyon has been a lead cook in the village for the last year and 3 months. I will say a blessing, and we will conclude by singing the prayer of good courage, which is found on half sheets at the entrances. Sam, please come forward. I also invite anyone who would like to gather around and lay hands on Sam to come forward. As you leave the village, after serving faithfully and well, we wish to send you off with a blessing and a gift, as you have been both blessing and gift to this village. Sam, child of God, sister in life and faith, thanks be to God for so richly blessing you and calling you to share with us life in this place. May God bless you and keep you as you continue on your journey, wherever it may lead. These candles are a small token of our deep appreciation for all that you have brought to this village. Receive them as a sign of the light that you carry within you and as a reminder of your time in Holden in such settings as prayer around the cross. May your light continue to shine wherever you may go. Sam, you are in our thoughts and prayers, and you will remain in our hearts. We now send you out with the Holden prayer.
Yeah.
Please share the good news.
Thanks be to God.